May I speak to you in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life. Amen. You may be seated. Today we gather with the disciples on the first Easter Sunday. And Jesus breathes the Spirit on us. With Thomas, we ask for a sign. And Jesus offers us his wounded self in the broken bread. From Easter day until Pentecost, we greet each other. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We say it with great certainty and as though there were no questions. Yet, for the first disciples, there were questions. Although it is what they wanted to be true, it was not what they were expecting. They'd been with Jesus, they have seen Jesus die. They were devastated, confused, and directionless. So they took some convincing, and Thomas as much as anyone else. So the story of Easter continues as the risen Jesus appears to his disciples. His words of Thomas offer a blessing to all who entrust themselves to the risen Lord. So when we hear this story, we hear a proof of Jesus' resurrection. Most of us here have moved well beyond that question. But we have other questions and struggles as well. We should feel deeply encouraged by this story, that doubt is not only tolerated, but questions and doubts can grow and be how we can grow. They're very important. How our faith is deepened in that process. So in this story, having questions, doubts, reservations, or not judged harshly or even frowned upon, it is met with warmth, compassion, and encouragement, and of course, with answers. Today's collection of readings highlights the corporate confession in worship. The reading from Acts 4 gives us a vision for holy community that leaves no one in need. The unity necessary for this community is celebrated in Psalm 133 with an implicit acknowledgement that unity can be elusive. And in 1 John, we find the roots of repentance in an honest accounting of the places we fall short of faithfulness, particularly as it relates to relationships. We then encounter a gospel story centered on grace and forgiveness amid doubt. So this moment, I believe, leads from vision to hope, from hope to humility, and then from humility to grace. It is a pattern for confession and worship and for our day-to-day living itself. Thomas was simply not there at that moment. One can understand that. So whilst it took him little longer, he only needed what the others had experienced, to see with his own eyes. Imagine, picture that moment. Somebody's telling you about an experience and you have missed it. And how much you long to have that experience yourself. Putting yourself in Thomas' shoes, one could imagine that. Secondly, Jesus is very patient, kind, and maybe even amused. I mean, if we were there, if it happened in our day, we would say, seriously? Are you kidding? These would be the favorite words that we use from time to time when we hear something too shocking, too surprising, that becomes unbelievable. So asking questions, as in having reservations, experiencing doubt, are only seriously damaging to faith when we can't or won't seek answers, when we don't keep our communication channels open to God and others of faith. Doubt is dangerous to faith when it leads us to cut ourselves off from the very one we need to talk to about things, that is, the Lord himself. But Thomas, having his doubts, wanted to see Jesus and to check it out for himself. Why not? He wanted to see and to talk to the one who could provide answers. Having questions, it seems, increases faith. No wonder. Questions are very important in our lives. So remembering that faith is about our relationship with God, more than our beliefs per se. And faithfulness in faith requires that we take our troubles to the one we are having troubles with. Thomas did exactly the right thing. Writer Anne Lamott observes, the opposite of faith is not doubt, but certainty. A very sweeping statement indeed. So for the witness of others' experience can affirm, enlarge, and challenge our own experience. It is part of why we find one another's story of faith so encouraging and interesting, and why the faithful, loving conduct of someone else gives our faith a boost. When we hear others' experiences, we learn from their experience as well. In reality, we are group creatures. We are designed for communion. God intended us to be a community, not just individuals. So struggle, doubt, unanswerable questions are part of the journey. It's all part of the package. Like the Pilgrim's Progress, I believe most of you would have read it at some point in your life. It's that classic Christian story. We must all travel through the landscape of temptation, despair, distortion, suffering, apparent meaninglessness. And as Martin Luther wrote in his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress, God's peace also brings forgiveness for us, for all unrighteousness that results from our obsessive self-concern. I'm reminded of Mother Teresa, who was known in her lifetime as a woman of great faith. After her death, years of letters that came to light, in which it became clear that she had struggled terribly with feelings of despair and a longing for Jesus that was no longer satisfied in the way it had been earlier in her faith journey. But she did not abandon her faith, and instead, we have this record because she kept writing to her spiritual director and friend, kept honing and exploring. So faith, like all relationships, needs to be stronger than just the feeling of the hour, the thought bubble of the day, the bumper sticker slogan of the era, So in God's peace, true unity is found of faith. True unity. It is of mutual service and of testimony to God's abiding concern and his ever available forgiveness. So true Christian unity occurs only because of Christ and is achieved only by Christ. In this way of being faithful, where questions are encouraged and doubt is accepted as part of the journey. So Thomas here becomes our role model. So let us, this Easter, take our certainties and questions, our hopes and our doubts to the Lord. And let us give all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength to God, just the way we are. Right here in our congregation, we have individuals, not forgetting the children, who have serious and good questions and doubts. I remember my childhood days. And we are actually in the presence of some educationists. We have a very special guest who used to be the former principal of a very well-known school. And my mother was also a principal of a middle school. And I remember every time she would ask us to do our homework after school hours, we would end up asking question after question, why is this and why not that? And then somebody else is saying, why not? And it goes on and on. It was a wonderful process. And I still remember I went to a convent school, St. Philomena's, back in the day. I spent, I think, 6 years of my early childhood till grade four. And back then, my class teacher was an Italian nun. And there was a parent-teacher meeting. I was all little tensed up. I didn't know what Sister Cecilia would tell my mom. And my mom said, how is he doing? Oh, your son, all I want to describe is in one word, he is very inquisitive. And that put a big smile on my mom's face because I would never stop asking questions. It is good. We must welcome others' doubts, just like Thomas. So as a priest in the Church of God, I pay attention and listen to every parishioner's conversation. I'd like to know their views. I would like to know their struggles, their successes. And at times I have been touched by the shed tears of the people. And I can feel when people do not feel united. I can tell. They feel alone, separated, lost, and even unloved. So we must become aware of our myriad failings. Failure, that includes myself. Failure to love our families, our friends, our neighbors, as we should. Failure to welcome and honor those who are different, who are seekers. The failure to go looking for those who might be in need of God's blessing and forgiveness. That extra mile, as we say, we need to walk that extra mile. Only then we will discover. Otherwise, it will always be seen, suppressed. We should go and inquire. We should become inquisitive. We should be like Thomas, asking questions. We are asked to forgive, not to forget. To bless, not condemn. To liberate so that others need not continue to sin. So from frightened individuals, we are transformed into a community of open doors, peace and forgiveness. The church draws its unity from God's peace, which drives fear away. In God's peace, we are no longer distorted by dread, but become ourselves, the free people of God. So, my friends, because of our risen Lord and Messiah, hallelujah! Amen.